In the greeting of the Lord's Apostle Paul to the Christians in Ephesus and cities beyond, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You've heard the word of God for our meditation. It's from the sixth chapter, the last chapter, the Ephesians, verses 10 through 20. We bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we bow before you and pray that out of your glorious riches we may be strengthened by you with power through your Spirit in our inner being, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. Lord, let us be rooted and established in love, so that your power, that power together with all the saints, there we may grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, that we too may know this love that surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. In Jesus' name, amen. For the sake of him who loved us and freed us from our sins, our Savior, our brother, our champion, dear fellow soldiers of the cross. Back in the 1970s, I believe it was in the high school gymnasium in Mobridge, South Dakota, I attended the academy. We had some games in the public school. There was a mural on the wall. Nobody ever explained it, but the picture was pretty graphic. It comes out of a culture that very much honored valor and bravery. And you could sure see it in the faces and the whole setting of the picture. It showed a group of Native American warriors dancing around a pole. Each of them was connected to the pole by eagle talons, claws, digging into their chest, tied by ropes. As they danced around the pole, the ropes got tighter and tighter. The last one standing would be the bravest warrior, impervious to pain. The whole picture was to show how enemies of these warriors could do their worst and not get through. Hand-to-hand combat in our day and age doesn't really, that escapes most of us. We're more worried about cyber attacks, right? What comes in your inbox may be much more of a danger to you. Most of us are savvy enough not to answer the requests out of Africa so that you send your bank information and you get millions and billions of dollars, right? But it's that message that looks like it came from your bank that threatens that your accounts will be frozen if you don't click on this link or that. Or that telephone call from the IRS that never calls anybody. They say this over and over again. But according to this phone call, you got one more last chance to stay out of trouble with the IRS or else. Those are the attacks that seem to get through in our culture. And yet, I'm always amazed at how our Lord Jesus can communicate to warriors and to gentle souls the world over. Worse than attacks on your bank account, worse than attacks on your country from within and without, Jesus faced your enemy, death, unflinching. Took the worst that hell could dish out. Suffered the raging wrath of God against every one of your sins. And came out victorious. On Easter morning, Jesus became the only man, first, last, or ever, to go through death and on his own power stand again as the risen Lord Jesus Christ, God and man. He still stands against every enemy of your body and soul because it is to his glory and your Father's glory to bring you safely home to heaven. So he speaks to us in words that still communicate today Even if you don't understand the pictures of the heavy-armed Roman legionnaire soldier, or as the Greeks called them, the hoplite, just a little research, we can get the whole picture. But what the lesson here is the word throughout the Holy Scriptures, stand on your own, you fall. Be strong in the Lord. Recognize the enemy. Be strong in the Lord. Recognize the enemy. You know where the attacks are coming, especially every year in the fall? You know who's attacked in our society? Teenagers. Off to college. One young woman, Wells, said she didn't have to go to church anymore because her mom wasn't there to make her. It's my vicar, you're in campus ministry. She just flat out told me that. No shame at all. Many will go off to public universities and colleges. One Wells professor in a university system told us years ago that practically every member on the faculty found it his or her life's ambition to strip away every prop of faith that these kids have. That was their goal. And yet, our Wells kids have been trained, they're sensitive to this, and they have a reputation that they speak up in class. If you go to a public university, you're more likely to expect that God-fearing professors are going to be few and far between. Is it possible that you're more in danger in a religious school where human opinion trumps God's word, where the professors all think that, you know, you have your opinion, I have mine, it's all just a matter of interpretation, they buy into that lie. And so they'll say things that sound pretty good, but there's that little twist that takes truth and turns it into error because it's out of focus. It's not on Jesus anymore, it's on you, it's on your feelings. It's like having a shiny sword that you think is the word of God, but it's so brittle that when you go into battle with it, it will not hold up. It shatters. Every false teaching somehow puts work righteousness in there that puts you in the spotlight instead of Jesus, your Savior. And what results from that, my dear friends, it happens to all of us. When you start to feel out of sorts and not at peace, you're looking at yourself. But thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. I like the old King James better. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Recognize the enemy. This is why the Holy Spirit tells us through Paul here, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Your relationships, your family at home, your extended family, your congregation of believers, it's not people that are your enemy. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. God wants us armed and ready. If we depend on our own righteousness and our own efforts, we'll fall. Some of you have been in enough sports that you can remember suiting up for some championship contest. And the more important the contest, the more this may stick in your memory, looking around the locker room and hoping that all of your teammates have their head in the game. And maybe finding a bit of comfort in the fact that a few of your star athletes are nationally recognized, but they're just all hoping that everybody's going to step up. Not like one high school game I remember where we had a linebacker, probably one of the smallest guys on the team, one of those salt-of-the-earth South Dakota farmers, and there was a huge fullback on the other side. They just kept giving him the ball. All of us were bouncing off trying to tackle this guy at the shoulders, and only Amos Shue would get at the ankles. And after four or five tackles, he could hardly breathe anymore. He says, "These guys are landing on me. Would you guys get going?" Everybody needs to get in there. A good coach will realize that it's not how much you paid for your equipment, the best of the shoulder pads, the super helmets, you know, all that stuff. And it's really not which team has more talent. The game is mostly in here and up here. Where's your head? Where's your heart? Jesus knows and recognizes our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Satan is out there. But in our own head and our own heart, recognize the enemy there too. And then, as you be strong in the Lord, gear up with God. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the schemes of the devil. For this reason, take up the full armor of God so that you may be able to take a stand on the evil day, and after you have done everything, to stand. In hand-to-hand combat, the last one standing, especially there you could see it, that's the winner. Everybody else is laid low. We may not understand this so much, but I think you'll get it here, how personal this really is. So many Christians get up in the morning and they're thinking about this and they're thinking about all these things that I have to do, and they're forgetting that this is another day of battle to fight the good fight of faith. God wants to strengthen you for what lies ahead. Could you take a few minutes in prayer with the Lord in the morning before you rush into the day? As one professor told us, you don't have to even read a whole chapter. One verse of the Bible. Sometimes these calendars are so helpful for that. One verse there, one word of God. You're armed and ready because God is so powerful in that word. If you have more time, fine, spend it. But don't neglect that one word or that prayer. Go into battle with God and realize He is guarding your soul because He shed His blood for that soul. He wants you home in heaven more than you can even think of this. And He thought about you by name from all eternity. But Satan is going to be doing everything he can to rob you. If not of your faith, at least of your tranquility and your peace. Because Satan hates nothing worse than when you're at peace with God because you're trusting in Jesus, your Savior. Or when a congregation is at peace. Satan hates that. Or your family. If you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. Paul's warning to the Corinthians too. It's there. So stand in the full armor of the Lord against the evil day when you've done everything you'll stand. Now he gets specific. Stand then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. In the King James, it said, gird up your loins. Because we really don't get this picture anymore because it's very rare when a man wears something as long as a pastor's robe. But you can't run in this, and sometimes it's even hard to get up in this. Thankfully, most of you have never seen this, but there are times when stepping up onto the foot pace, or especially when we had children's lessons sitting here, the robe would come down far enough, and the first step is walking up the inside of the robe. Take the second step, you'll be on your face. Ladies know this from, you know, important when you wear gowns and so forth, but that isn't too common either, right? So you can understand why the Lord says, gird up your loins, put on your belt, right? So if you're going to run into battle, put on the belt, pull these up so that you can run and fight those battles and not be tripping over this worry, that anxiety, this concern, all those things that are pressing in on you, gird up your loins. Put on the belt. This is called the belt of truth. Where God says it's sin, we say it's sin. When God says that sin is forgiven because of Jesus, we thank God. That's truth. Anything that clouds that, calls it love not to call sin sin. You know the examples. That's not love. That's human selfishness. And that's destructive to bodies and souls. So gird up your loins. Put on the belt of truth. Go into battle. and put on the breastplate of righteousness so that it's fastened in place. A breastplate would go from about the waist up to the neck, thorax. It's actually the word we get thorax from in Greek. And it's got to be fastened on so it's not flopping around, falling off. It's the breastplate of righteousness. It guards your heart. When you think about righteousness first, you naturally think about the righteousness that God requires in the Ten Commandments. Jesus is actually talking about that in Matthew 7, where he's blasting his fellow Jews, the religious leaders, for adding to God's word. Instead of taking the Ten Commandments as they are, they want to add to them, subtract from them, make it better as far as they're concerned. It'd be like you having a brand new car or something like that, and it's parked there in the driveway, and one of the kids comes along and wants to make it more shiny, so takes out a bunch of duct tape and duct tapes your new car. Grandpa, look at how shiny it is. Just a made-up story. But this is how work righteousness works. It's taking a beautiful diamond or ruby and putting something shiny like varnish or lacquer on it. That doesn't improve it. God's word is what it is. So Jesus says, guard your heart with this breastplate of righteousness, because it's out of the heart these sexual sins, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, unrestrained immorality, envy, slander, arrogance, foolishness, all of these come from inside us. The breastplate of God's righteousness, even in the Ten Commandments, guards our heart. But you have to recognize that the righteousness that saves is not what we do. In Romans, Paul hits this really hard, especially in Romans chapter 3. We're told in Ephesians we're dead in our transgressions and sins, and in Romans 3, Paul says there's no one who does good, not even one. So none of us are going to get it right before God. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. We celebrate that gift when we put on the righteousness that Paul says there comes from God and is received by faith, and your heart is protected. Even when you sin, you have that forgiveness from God in His mercy and His grace. Put on the breastplate of righteousness, and with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, tied to your feet like sandals. If you've ever tried to run in sandals, you know what happens if they're not strapped on well. They used to tie them, then came Velcro, much safer, I'm sure. But typically, you don't want to be running in flip-flops or sandals, but they didn't have any choice in ancient days when they went into battle. But it would make them more ready if you stop to think about it. If you don't have your focus on the gospel of peace, that forgiveness that creates peace in our hearts, you're looking all around at people that have disappointed you, maybe even in the church where you get brothers and sisters that can't talk to each other anymore. People that you don't want around that are actually your brothers and sisters in Christ. It happens. That's how the devil worms his way into congregations and families. But the gospel of peace says you're forgiven. Give that same forgiveness to others. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. As you focus on Jesus and him as your commander leading you into battle, you realize that your brothers and sisters in Christ are going into battle with you. None of us get it right all the time. But that is where those Roman legionnaires learn how to fight with this discipline, that they all moved as a unit. They did not separate like the hordes that they were fighting against from up north. They could move as a unit. So they could put their shields over their heads and other shields in front and move forward in what was called a tortoise, so that even the arrows coming over or anything coming at them could not stop the advance of these legionnaires, and the enemy would flee. We stay in sync with the gospel of peace and sandals tied on our feet. It keeps you from thinking everybody else should send their children off to do ministry, to become pastors and teachers, or to go over to seas. I want my kids at home. Or to do the Lord's work in the church. We've got other things to do, as if nobody else is busy. The gospel of peace on your feet as sandals tied makes you ready to run the way of the Lord's commandments. I'll run the way of the Lord's commandments when he will enlarge my heart. There's an old saying, and there's a lot of truth in this. If you want something done, ask the busiest person you know to do it. They somehow get it done. People that are complaining about being busy out there all the time, maybe not. I caution you as brothers and sisters in Christ not to judge this too quickly, because they may have family that they're caring for. There may be the Lord's work in their home that has to be done right then. Don't be too quick to judge. I hear that so often, this and that. No, you don't know. And sometimes if you hear that and you realize that somebody is complaining about a brother or sister in Christ, and you know what these brothers and sisters in Christ are busy with, speak up. Defend each other. Don't listen to them break the eighth commandment. Even among church members, you sometimes have to point out, do you realize what they and those children have been doing for the sake of the Lord and his work? Be careful. Let the gospel of peace be on your feet for each other too. And then he says, at all times, hold up the shield of faith with which you may be able to extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. There's a documentary, Ancient Warriors, about battles I had forgotten from history. Apparently in the 3rd century, the 300s BC, the Celts from up in Ireland, Britain, and up that way, stormed down through Europe all the way into Italy and defeated the Roman army. They were Roman Republic soldiers out of the capital city of Rome. Because the Celts had a technological advantage. Sounds strange in our day and age. Technology then was very much more physical. The Romans at the time were fighting with small shields. The Celts had long lances. Whoever has the longest reach against the smallest shield wins. The Roman soldiers couldn't stop the lances of the Celts, much less the flaming arrows. You know, to reach your enemy, one thing, an arrow to shoot it, but boy, if you can light that arrow on fire. In the century in between, into the 2nd century, the Romans figured out they needed bigger shields. The word that's used here comes from the root for door. Tira. The German word for door is Tier. Türen. So they had this door-type shield that went from above their heads, they could look sideways down below it, and almost to their feet, and it was shaped like that. And they could go into battle with those in front, others up above, that tortoise movement I talked about before. But once the Roman soldiers had those huge shields, the door-type shields, the Celts could not get through with lances or fiery arrows. This is your shield against Satan's flaming arrows. His scheming will make sin look harmless first, or fun and pleasurable, and as soon as you've fallen and maybe fallen again, the flaming arrows will come from Satan at your conscience and try to rip you apart and burn up your soul. If he can't get you into hell, he'd like to burn you up now in guilt. But that shield of faith, you put that up there and say, as Luther liked to say, I'm baptized. Jesus died for me. When the law has done its work and you recognize your sin and you're asking the Lord's forgiveness, then set the law aside. Any more of that and it's the flaming arrows of the evil one, because now it's time to be at the cross of Jesus Christ and know that your sins are forgiven, that you cannot be harmed in your conscience or in your heart. Take up that shield of faith with which you'll be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and the helmet of salvation. It says here, take it, but it's a different Greek word that really means to receive it. Receive the helmet of salvation. Receive the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This is guarding your head. Most people that I know are pretty strong thinkers, and even the kids think pretty hard sometimes, maybe too hard. The helmet of salvation on your head will guard your thoughts so that you can focus on what is good and noble and right and forgiving and gracious and kind from your God. Focus on that and let your head be protected by the helmet of salvation, God's gift as he gives it. And take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This sword is well-tempered. This will not shatter in the middle of battle. The sword of the Spirit, the word of God, cuts one way with the law and heals on the backstroke with the gospel. And we need both. The sword of the Spirit is the glory of the saints to wield that sword, Psalm 149. At every opportunity, he says, pray in the Spirit with every kind of prayer and petition. Stay alert for the same reason. Also, always persevering in your intercession for the saints. You don't go into battle these days without a headset, right? SWAT teams, they're all talking to each other. There is this constant communication. And when you're in the heart, the heat of battle, you need to be in constant communication with God. And the word that's used here for persevering in intercession for all the saints is a different word than usually just staying under the load. This perseverance means to press forward. It's a military term, only used once in the whole Bible, right here. The idea is that instead of blaming your fellow Christians or family, you persevere and press forward in prayer for them. Realize your fellow Christians are under attack too. Maybe somebody has fallen. And then the Holy Apostle says, watch yourself that you don't fall too. Lift them up. Bring them back. Persevere in prayer for one another. Press forward in prayer. And he says, pray for me also. If the preacher gets it messed up and puts a twist on the word of God and gets it out of focus, people can't see Jesus. They need to see the Lord Christ. So every time I open my mouth, he says, pray that I will have a message, that the message in me that I can boldly proclaim this mystery of the gospel. Remember, mysteries in Paul's writings in particular are things we could not know, but God wants us to know. It's a mystery that God wants to reveal. He wants everyone to know that God sent his Son to be your Savior, to take away your sin, to give you everlasting life as a free gift of his grace. He wants you to know that. He wants everyone to know that. And Paul says, pray for me, pray for all preachers. Isn't it true if the apostle had to pray for that, that modern preachers like your pastors here would need to pray for this even more, and you pray for us? Pray that every time I open my mouth, the message may come boldly and reveal the mystery of the gospel. Paul could say, as I am an ambassador in chains, this is one of the captivity letters, even in chains, he knows the gospel is not chained. It's advancing. Pray that I may speak about it boldly as it is necessary for me to speak. You're in the middle of the battlefield. But we know that Christ has already won. In a very real way, these are mop-up skirmishes, but still deadly. Still dangerous. But knowing that Christ has already won and keeping your eyes on your champion, you and I can press forward and realize that that victory that Paul talks about in Romans 8 is really ours. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let your life be one loud, victorious, unflinching. Amen.